Can we give a shout? Let's take our seat. Yahweh, covenant-keeping God. Yahweh, keeping God. Greetings in the name of Jesus. We are grateful to be in the house of the Lord. It's a beautiful day. It was raining early in the morning, and the sun is out and bright. There is a scripture David wrote in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23, I think. Can we go there? Let's try it. Verse 3, verse 4. It described this beautiful day. It says, God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over man must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Next verse, please. And he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises. Isn't it? A morning without what? Clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Amen.
Amen.
Your greatest problems will be solved by this verse. Yeah, have a pure heart. I said, have a pure heart. Have a pure heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, when you are not pure, you are like a darkness. We have to look at you and search. But if you are pure, it's easy. When your motives are clear.
Amen.
Can we bow our heads as we pray? Modimo ka Kriste Jesu re a leboga re latum setorso yo tlineng la gago go no siame le mo mosong o Kriste re nela mo go wena. Lead, guide and direct us this morning. We commit all of our services worldwide and in particular this service. We pray for those who are watching us online through broadcasting, through radio. Father, we pray for your message, that your word knows no boundaries, that Father, you sent your word to heal, to restore, and to establish us. May we be healed this morning. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. For all those who are visitors, welcome to Emmanuel Christian Church. This is our first morning service. When I left my house, there was no sun. And I was saying to Pastor Kay, and this is the day when young pastors pray, Lord, may my members come to church today. Because, you know, somebody told me, says, you see, my bed is close to the window. He says, I do like this. And I say, second service. So I can see that some people did like this. And they are watching us online now. Mercy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are grateful to God. Last week, our beloved pastor preached on substitution. Resurrection. Substitution. It is my desire that we understand what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. You see, we are people of the blood. We sacrifice. We slaughter. We understand that there are issues spiritual, that you can be successful here materially but struggle spiritually. So every sacrifice demands more sacrifice. And if you understand that part, that every sacrifice demands more sacrifice, your understanding of the call of God upon you and your family will be greater. Eight aspects of exchange. And this is taken from Derek Prince. He's one of the most profound teachers. Number one, Jesus was punished so we might be forgiven. As a child, we used to be very naughty. And so we were a group of boys, cousins, literally. And one of them will mess up. And I remember they will not discipline one, but they will beat all of us together. They will ask, who have done this? And sometimes we will say, so and so. And they will ask, what did you do? And they say, if crime is committed, all of us have committed crime. So when he's lashed, we get lashed as well. So that next time, when one of us want to misbehave together, or we are part of it, we will tell the person, we will beat the person, or hold the person, because we don't want to participate in the punishment. So Jesus was punished so that we might be forgiven. Jesus was punished so that we may receive forgiveness. Number two, Jesus was wounded so that we may be healed. Jesus was wounded so that we may be healed. The scriptures were read last week. Maybe you want me to read the scriptures, but I'm trying to do a summary so that we can get to the bone. The scriptures, if you are not in church last week, please go to our podcasts. There are plenty. Different Netflix, Apple, whatever, Android, you'll find us there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I'm just thinking that if I try and read the scriptures from last week, I will be delayed. Mercy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, Jesus loves you and has a good plan for you. He died for you. Okay, let me explain how we exited. There is a story possibly the Honorable Doctor shared last week of the exchange. The exchange happened this way. You have sinned. All of us have sinned. And so we are unrighteous before God. And so we deserve that. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And help me. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you can't get it. Genesis chapter 3, Adam sinned. His wife committed sin. But the Bible imputes that sin to Adam. The same discipline that my cousin spoiled something and all of us are spoiled. They beat all of us together. So if mess up, she brings the sin to Adam. Adam participates on the sin. And the whole human race is spoiled. The same, if we had the time, the same is true of fathers. That's why the sin of fathers is so serious. Now, because they sinned, they hid themselves. Sin makes us to hide. Sin makes us not to want to appear before God because we feel unrighteous, not qualified. And so all humanity copied from God. God slaughtered an animal and covered them. But the covering is not the leather. Don't have the leather in mind that he sew some leather pants and some leather tops so they move like punks on the street. You know, give me high five. No, it was not so. The covering they received, the covering of the blood. Because they were naked. So everybody knows who's alive. That you need blood. The Bible says, without blood, there is no forgiveness. And that is why many of us still take chickens, goats, bulls, and all that can be slaughtered for our own sin.
But in the Old
Testament, this is how it was done.
You come,
there were two goats.
You
bring two goats.
The
first one
Yantla
is for sin offering.
Yantla the
second one
Yabubedi
is what they call a scapegoat. It gives you, in Israel, it was a leaf for one year. So they will take the goat that they do sin offering, put their hand there. So there is a substitution. It's you who's supposed to die. So we take the goat. We put your hand, the priest will put the hand on the head of the goat. And make some statement, prayer for you. That when you see this blood, it's my blood, or it's the blood of this man. He acknowledges he has sinned, and he cannot pay with his own blood. So he's transacting. He takes the blood of the goat and say, it will be my blood. Take this blood as me. And then the scapegoat, let my life be free. But these sacrifices, they become more as time goes on. So if we had the time, we'll go there. But the issue is that Christ has become our scapegoat, to try and make it simple. Jesus has become our scapegoat. Jesus has set us free. Jesus has delivered us from the penalty of death and sin, or the penalty of sin, which is death. Now, the accomplishment that Christ has had for us, that's what I want us to focus on today. Because if you understand the exchange, there's been a substitution. Number one, I say Jesus was punished so that we might receive forgiveness. Jesus was punished so we might be forgiven. Number two, Jesus was wounded that I might be healed. So healing has already been provided. But it is upon you to accomplish it. It's the same. Sin has medicine. Sin has medicine. The medicine is Christ. In the world where people don't know Jesus, the medicine of sin is animal sacrifice. But we know today that some people have given all the sacrifices, and a higher sacrifice is demanded. Sometimes a human sacrifice. But the sacrifice has already been forgiven. We read that Jesus, in the book of Revelation 19:13, it says Jesus has already been given from the foundation of the world. So by his stripes we were healed. May you receive your healing now in the name of Jesus. I said, receive your healing now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody get my right scripture. I think it's the same chapter, but I got the wrong verse there. Number three, Jesus was made sin with my sinfulness, that I might be made righteous with his righteousness. In other words, you receive pardon because of Jesus. You don't have to go the same process. But all of this is accomplished by faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number four, Jesus died my death. Can you tell your neighbor, Jesus died my death? It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Say it, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So healing and restoration has come because I have exchanged my life with the life of Christ. In other words, you no longer have aspiration. Your life is given to Christ. Your life is given to God. So you are supposed to manifest. You are supposed to give. You are supposed to display the nature and the life of Jesus. You are a written epistle. You are the scripture now. You are manifesting the life of Christ. You have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. But it's no longer you who lives. But it's Christ who lives in you. Hey, there's no amen. I can see you want to hold on to your old nature. You have died. Tell your neighbor, you have died. You exchange. When you were supposed to go on the cross, you say, Jesus said, I'll go for you. Anyone who acknowledges him, there is an exchange. God no longer sees you as a sinner. He sees you as his son. The blood that runs in you is the blood of God. Jesus Christ. Hey, I saw a clip this morning. I like listening to messages in the morning. But sometimes other messages pop up. And so there is this judge, I think he's in America. Supreme Court judge. He says his brother had a kidney problem. His blood brother had a kidney problem. So they checked his blood to check if he can donate. But he's frail. So even though he will be a match, but he's frail. So he cannot donate for his own personal life. But he wants to save his brother. But he's got two sons who could donate blood, who could donate one kidney to him. And he says when they did, I don't know what they do, the doctors can help us to do the match, he came to discover that the two children were not even his own children. They are not even part of his blood. No. Mercy. Listen. You can look for salvation from many other things. And one day you'll discover that what you thought was the real thing, like this man who thought this, my two sons can match my brother because they come from me. But he soon discovered that the blood of goats and the blood of chickens and the blood of bulls was not enough to save him, because in this regard it was just exposed. He said 42 years raising this children. He says this, my firstborn is 42, my secondborn is 40. It's a lifetime. You are an old man. You have no issue. You have no offspring. You know, you have kept your life and yourself decent. And you think, I've worshipped and served God. And only to find the sacrifices and all that you are doing, you have wasted your time. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you here? Yeah, I was shocked. I say, hey, humans. Jesus died that he might share his life. Oh, the life of Jesus, we'll just talk about it now. Number five, Jesus was made a curse that I might receive a blessing. You see, the blessings that we are seeking for, we have to work for them. Your salary. You work for it. This way, man, and you'll toy toy and say, hey, mina, mina, hey, hey. Looking for pay. Because we are being paid, isn't it? Salary is a payment. I was saying to somebody, fight not to be paid.
Because
when you are not paid,
you
are part of what you have labored
for.
Hey, it's a mystery that many don't understand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I'm a son of God.
I'm a son of God.
And I am a beneficiary of the blood of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number six, Jesus endured my poverty.
Can
you say, Jesus endured my poverty? That I might share in his abundance. That's what we'll talk about. Jesus endured my rejection. Last week, possibly the honorable doctor told you about the 7 or 8 things relating to a curse. 7 common indications that you might have a curse or a demon in your life. Mental and emotional breakdown. Repeated sickness and disease, specifically if they are hereditary. Repeated miscarriages of female problems. Breakdown of marriage and family alienation. A history of falling apart. A history of falling apart. Amen.
Amen.
The history of splitting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number 5, financial insufficiency. That continues. We all now and then will have lack here and there. But some people, even when they're educated, even when they get paid a lot, big money, they have continuous and ending insufficiency. I see
this
as a counselor. Oh, you'll be shocked. That somebody, I gave an example that somebody was telling, I think, in joy, that I pay 25,000 for the car, I pay 35,000 for the house, I pay so much for my children and all of that. So I listen to a person, and sometimes you don't want to switch off. You don't want to switch them off. It sounds like a breakthrough. And I said, oh, I'll take a pause. If I was you, I'll take a pause. The kind of salary you earn, I'll take a pause. Because in 1 year, you can have this house and be fully paid. You don't know what I'm talking about. We're talking about financial insufficiency. The fact that somebody's earning more. You see, there's somebody who earns
10,000
and have everything that a person who earns 500,000. We're talking a month, not a year. I'm talking a month. Oh, I can tell you, I can give you stories. Nag. I can tell you stories. Mam put it about 6 years. So, okay, we had a guy many years ago, Var Mandla. I think it's a common story. You can Google it, you'll find it, but not now, later. He was paid 80 million. And in 4 years, he was broke totally, no money, nothing. Do you know how much is 80 million? I can't even imagine because I've never seen it before. But I've been able, I work for the bank, I've been able to see money packed, like money packed. You know, now they reduce the money into 200 notes. Those years, the biggest note was 50 rand when I worked for the bank. The money, when they pack it, hey, it's a lot. When they tell you, this is 1 million. You know, today 1 million, you can carry it in a bag, in 200, and you just pass, and nobody even is aware you have it. Mercy. You must be, may the Lord deliver you from continuous financial insufficiency in the name of Jesus. There are people who are accident prone. Yeah. They break and bruise Whatever that they have is a struggle. A natural prone to accident. Yeah. We were working in one of our church structures when we were building. We have this big steel, possibly could weigh 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 kilograms. You can't lift it easily. You have a crane. You lift it with a crane. And one guy decided, I mean, he's got a screw, a spanner on his hand, but he wants to take the screw with his hand under this heavy, I don't know, maybe it can be even 10,000 kilo. Mercy. Yeah. I prayed for people who in every activity we do, they get hurt. It doesn't matter what we do, but they will come with a bruise. We'll have to run to the hospital. We'll have to... Oh, you don't know. And when you look at it, it's like it's a family trait. Everybody has some serious wounds. Accident prone. What about signs of a curse and a demon? A family of suicides and unnatural deaths. Mercy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today, number one, I'm told my time is almost up. We are talking about solution and answer. Last week, I think you did solution number one, and then the time came to an end. So maybe let me give you what you did last week. I think I have it. Number one, Jesus on the cross endured your poverty that he might share his wealth. Jesus on the cross, everything was taken from him. Jesus was totally naked. Not only naked as in naked in the body, but everything that gave a human dignity was taken from him. Even when he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, Jesus was in total darkness. And the Bible says, and God, because of the sin of the world, the curtain was broken. We had access to God, which we could not have before. Yes, paid in full. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. It's an exchange. May you receive this truth in the name of Jesus. I say, receive this truth in the name of Jesus. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
Now
listen to Deuteronomy 28. Verse 47 and 48. It talks about the curse. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy, gladness of heart, for the abundance of everything. Hey, some people have abundance of everything. Do you understand abundance of everything? You don't have to take a tablet. You don't have to breathe with an oxygen. I remember during COVID, we had COVID in my house. We had symptoms of COVID. And when our medical aid realized that one or two of family members have been diagnosed with COVID, They send us an oxygen meter or whatever they call it to check how much of oxygen we have. And they tell you, when it drops below this, don't waste time. Run for the hospital.
Hey,
I didn't know we are healthy. When we put that thing here, it says 97% oxygen. And other family members, it will say 80%. Now, I didn't know anything about this oxygen meter, that the organs shut down. When this oxygen starts to low, there are certain organs that get switched off. In other words, the body decides, these ones, you can survive for a season without them. Imagine somebody. Now, the case. Listen to the case. We are reading Deuteronomy 28, 47 to 48. Because you did not serve the Lord, your God, with joy and gladness of heart. For the abundance of everything. Yeah. It's very funny that people who have more, they complain more. They remember more. They are never happy with anything. There is a story that we always tell. Possibly it's a common story, but maybe some of us take it for light. The issue of not being satisfied. That when things are given generously to you, you think there are things that are being withheld from you. There is a story we read, Alibaba and Kasima. And one of the two brothers found a treasure of gold coins somewhere. And he found the code to enter this cave. But when he came home with the treasure, he had no scale to weigh. So he said to his brother, borrow me your scale. So the brother borrowed him his money scale. And he realized this guy is coming frequently to borrow the scale. He put a magnet under the scale. And when he came to fetch his scale, he checked his secret magnet. There's gold coins here. From there, he became the CIA. Secret intelligence. He followed his brother to the secret cave. And he could see his brother was saying some words. The cave opened, he carried the money. And guess what? He went himself. That's greed. Yeah. And so he got stuck inside the cave. Imagine somebody. The case is serious. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy, with gladness of heart, for the abundance of everything. Your health. I was talking to somebody who was giving an offering. And I said to the person, what more could you give? Is this your best? Is this your appreciation? And I tried to teach him that there is an offering that is an offense.
Yes.
You will grow to that level where somebody will give you something and you will be very offended. So I said to them, is this the best you can give to God? That's the best. But let's go to the case. Verse 48. Therefore, can we read it together? One, two, go. Therefore, you shall not serve. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Let's not talk tithes. Let's not talk, because you will argue with me. Verse 47 is my verse for the whole year. Let's read it together so that you don't say, I wrote the verse and now I'm bringing it to you. One, to go. Because you did not serve the Lord. Stop there. Because you did not serve. What does the other verse say? You will serve your enemies. Yes. But your enemies will go to a point that they'll put even a yoke on you. You remember the guy who earns half a million? And by month end, he's on overdraft. You haven't started to live. The guy earns half a million
a month,
and he's on overdraft. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, I wonder what I could do with half a million. No. It's because you are not aware. You are struggling with your 10,000. So the equation is the same. The Bible says, he who is what? Faithful in what? In the least. The curse is in obedience. If you read the same chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, it says, if you diligently hearken and listen to. So it's not like about you, but it's about your generosity of heart. It says, God says, I give you for the abundance of everything. But there it is. It says, it shall come to. Let's finish our verse. Verse 47, so that you don't forget it. Then I close. They've already told me that I've exhausted my time. Because you did not, let's read it together. One, two, go. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Now, there is a reverse. It's a curse. May this curse not come upon your life in the name of Jesus. That's the exchange. Jesus exchanged this for us. I was saying to somebody who was saying, I pay my tithe, I do this. I say, and I don't prosper. I say, you are looking at the wrong direction. You are barking at the wrong tree. So because I knew them, I say, let's check your family. Yes, let's go back to where you come from. Let's see what the Lord has done for you. Yeah, then you will realize how gracious God has been to you. And when I started to go with the person and say, look at that. Their eyes were open. That they literally have left everybody there. Everybody is far. They are comparing themselves with themselves. And so the Bible says they are not wise. And this is why the curse comes now, because they remember God has given them abundance in everything. That's number one for today. Number two, Jesus endured our poverty that we might share in his abundance. Jesus on the cross was hungry. Jesus on the cross was thirsty. Jesus on the cross was naked of all things. In hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in everything. This is poverty. Yeah, poverty. I can relate with this verse. Imagine somebody.
Amen.
Mercy. Hallelujah. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. It's a curse to be buried. Somebody says, I don't care. When I'm dead, I'm dead. It's a curse to be buried in the tomb that is not your own. That's how poor Jesus was.
Yeah.
Somebody donated. Hey, I say you don't like my preaching. I say Jesus was clothed. The grave clothes were borrowed. Were not his own clothes.
Grave clothes.
You know, some of us, the way you are, well, when you die, we go and buy you new clothes. You don't know. You, some people, the people who are getting underground, they are putting on the best suit that they have, the latest. You'll even think they are still alive. Jesus borrowed. Maybe you are here, you are putting on borrowed clothes. Fight it. I said fight it. Yes, poverty. Hey, mercy. Are you listening? He was poor in everything. Mercy. Jesus exhausted the poverty curse. That we might have the abundance in everything. There was an exchange. He became poor. That you might be rich.
Okay,
I can say, let's take an offering now. You'll see the attitude. Christ has not died for us. We will. What is it? We will save for tomorrow. The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was saying to somebody, your offering must grow. Your offering must grow. Your appreciation for God must appreciate. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 says, for it was fitting for him, for whom we all, okay, therefore you shall serve, no, let's change the verse. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
Jesus
suffered all things for us so that he can bring us to glory. May you receive this glory in the name of Jesus. May you ascend to your place of calling in the name of Jesus. May you come to the recognition of what Christ has accomplished for you on the cross in the name of Jesus. So don't give an offering besides yourself.
Acts
chapter
5.
Paul asked, Peter asked, is this all?
He
said, were this not yours before? Mercy. Tell your neighbor mercy. Yeah. Number 3. Jesus endured our shame that we might share in his glory. We just read the verse. Jesus wants you to share in his glory. Hey. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus wants you to do what? Many years ago, I'm going to close now. Many years ago, I was in church. I was still with Mama Nora. I was with a group called Arise and Shine.
There
was a wedding. So we used to run as young boys, as ushers, to pick up, to give people food and to pick up the plates. So, one day, we wanted to take the food, put our food first aside, and some cakes. some ginger beer that was made.
So
we serve. After we fast, we serve. We can come back for our food. We have done this before and nobody noticed. But this time, a very elderly person was there to watching us. And he said, no, put everything. You don't eat yourself first. You finish exhausted. If no one is going to eat today, if the food gets finished, it's you. This is glorious. To do that, to make other people first and you are the last, has glory in it. It will bring you to glory. Yes, but to those who are carnal, holding, because we're trying to hold the food, holding. Holding, keeping. We read the verse. The curse has come because with joy, with happiness, we could not serve the Lord. With all good things that the Lord has given us, we could not serve the Lord. So He has sent enemies that we may serve them, that they may put an iron around our neck so that we will suffer because we don't know how to serve the Lord. We will not give. We went to a funeral and I was standing beside a very nicely dressed gentleman. I could see that the suit is a very good quality suit. He opened his wallet. The wallet had a small pocket for coins. He had paper money. But he opened the coin section. And he pulled 5 rand. Then I understood why he will remain poor. He will put on nice suits, but he will never progress. Holding. Your generosity is not known to God. Your generosity is when they buy sparkle. It's their generosity. They'll buy the most expensive. The other time I was with the evokers, I said, what is your best meal? And they were telling me what is their best meal. And I asked them, I think they were talking about what box, KFC, all Starbucks. I think it's about 70 bucks or so. And I said, have you come before the Lord? And with excitement and with joy. And so they know all Starbucks. I'm going to bless you, Lord. Oh, 70 rand is not much. But it's a lot for a student who, when NS first pays, he says, I'm going to pay myself. I was in a restaurant. We went for a restaurant. It was a conference. After the conference, we were in
Santin.
I was with my wife. And I took another pastor. He was with his wife. I said, oh, let's get something to eat. So we drove into Santin. Or the shops, the restaurant, there's a section where there's a lot of restaurants. All of them, I said, I don't want crowds. I don't want... We passed all this because crowds usually... Anyway, let me not go there. So, we saw a nice restaurant, quiet, no people. We packed our car. We went to eat. Hey, the bill, when it came, hey, it was a very heavy bill. I think 2,000-3,000 rand. What kind of food is this? When you want to see that there is trouble coming, the guy who cooks at the back, he's the owner of the restaurant. He comes and he bows down and he talks to you with this brightness and tell you today, I have a special for you. The food today, I mean, you look at it and say, I should have gone to Chisanyam. Mercy. Am I telling somebody? Jesus exchanged his life for your life. His death, your death for his life. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We give you praise. We are grateful, Father, of the exchange that Christ exchanged his life for our life. He took our sin. He took our death. He took our poverty. He took our lack. That in him we may have life and have it abundantly. I want to pray together with you today. If you are here, you say, I want to receive Jesus. Those on radio, you say, I want to receive Jesus. Those who are watching us, you say, I want to receive Jesus. He will exchange his life for your life. If you are here today, you say, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be a child of God. I want my sins to be forgiven. Lift up your right hand and lift it high so that I can see it. Is there somebody else this morning? I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be a child of God. Father, forgive me. Father, cleanse me. Today I lay down my life. I give my life to Jesus. I pray for an exchange. I pray for the newness of God to come upon my life. Is there somebody else? Is there somebody else? Is there somebody else? Pastor, include me in the prayer. I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be a child of God. Is there somebody else? I'll ask the church to pray with me. Those on radio, pray with me. Those that are watching, pray with me. Can you say, Father? Everybody, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today that Jesus is my exchange. Today, I have escaped. Free from sin, free from death, I receive the eternal life, the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. With my own mouth, I speak that Jesus is Lord. With my own heart, I believe that you raised him from the dead. Father, forgive me. Forgive my sins. Wash my sins with your blood. Make me your child in the name of Jesus. Can you say, Satan, today we cut ties. I have nothing to do with you. Take what is yours. I belong to Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus. Can you say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Lead me and guide me in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give a powerful clap offering?